All right, if you guys don't already know, our buddy Russ is here to preach it. So, Russ, why don't you come on up? And
thank you. Good morning. Everybody should have oil in the pulpit, right? Well, so, yeah, I recognize so many of you. For those that remember me, my name's Russ, and if you don't know me, my name is still Russ. And thank you for having me back. I really love this church, and like I said, just recognize so many of you. And so I'm just hearing some really great things about Dayspring, honestly, and about James and Julie and the direction that the church is headed. It's just a huge blessing. And I think what's great, too, is, you know, I was here through some of that transitional period that you guys had been walking through for some time. So again, just to see familiar faces that are still here, you know, that have just relied on God, relied on the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you, I think is a real just testimony of your walk with the Lord. So today I have with me I'll just do a little quick introduction. If you remember my wife, Rhonda, and we're still married. We're still going. And then I have my daughters, Jade, and my other daughter, Jessica. Jade's little daughter, or my granddaughter Amari, my brother Todd, brother Mark, my sister-in-law Anita. And the reason I brought them is because I said, now if I laugh, you laugh. If I clap, you clap. Whatever it is, just so in case it doesn't work out real well there today, that you can just kind of lead the congregation into that. So anyway, so that's my family today. And I've been hearing, when I talked to James about a week or so ago, he said that you had been studying, and he's been teaching on the Holy Spirit. And so at Eastside, we've been teaching on the Holy Spirit. We've been going through I don't know this exact same message. I'm sure they communicate, but it's really been, I don't know about for you here at Dayspring, I'm sure it is with us. It's just great to have those teachings on the Holy Spirit. I don't know where James and Julie are today. Excuse me, I think they were maybe just taking a little bit of time and praying about direction for the, for the upcoming words. So today's message is, it's kind of a transitional message. So I thought, well, great. I can just do this message. It's not really pointed towards any particular thing other than what God has really laid on my heart to share with you. It's definitely not the message I started out to share, but it's one I feel like God is bringing to today for me to share with you. So we have some similarities again. And one of the other things is hearing about O Sunny Day and your relationship with that that ministry in Uganda. And I know that some of you have been going. I hear that James recently went. And I think, if you've heard me share here before, Eastside, we have a relationship within Uganda as well. And I took a team last March. We're actually taking a team again this March in just a few weeks. But in between that time, in late November, early December, I went back to Uganda. And I really went back as kind of a sabbatical time, if you will. But it was like a sabbatical on purpose, right? Sabbaticals, you're supposed to rest. But I went with the idea that I just really wanted to share the gospel. Like, no matter where I went, that's just really what I wanted to do, to go to the bush, in the church, just wherever, just be really flexible in what God is doing over there. And it is amazing. I'm glad you guys are connected in Uganda, because the harvest is ripe in Uganda. And that's what I share with my team. It's like, all you need to do is go over there and swing the sickle. It's already set up. They've been praying for years and fervently praying. The seeds have been planted. They've been watered. And now you can dive in and you can be a part of what God's doing as he brings in the harvest from that country. And I hope you don't mind. I just wanted to kind of get started. I'm going to kind of go through some of the first ones kind of quickly. But they're my last ones, I'm actually have a kind of tie into my message today. So I just want to share these with you. These are, besides my three daughters I have here, we have three daughters in Uganda. So, yeah, and we just love them like crazy, and I just can't wait to get back and to see them. Next one. This is out in the bush. I just thought you might like to see this picture. It's just a great picture of some kids out in the bush in Africa and Uganda. Okay. just teaching traditional dance. This lady comes and teaches so they don't forget their traditional dance and actually dance with vases on their head. It's pretty amazing, and they just keep stacking them. And these kids that they're dancing with are at the orphanage. These kids, she's taught them how to do this traditional dance. Next. For you ladies, if you go to the market in Terrebonne, it's just an idea in case, because some people don't like to use bags, right? So there you go. This is if you need to get your roof fixed. This is what it'll look like when you're on your way home from the roofing company to get your roof put back on. You can't show a picture of Africa if you don't show a picture of the wildlife, right? That is in Uganda. Yeah, the elephant's in Uganda. In northern Uganda is where that picture was taken, right there. This young gal, and some of these are like a story unto herself. I could stay up here for a long time and tell you about each of them. But this young lady's name is Sarah. She suffers from a disease called nodding syndrome, which is, to me, is like epilepsy times 10. It's really a severe disease, and I had met her a few years ago, and miraculously, God's provided a way for her to just continue on. So the next picture. One of the things I wanted to do when I went back, my wife and I got to meet Sarah face-to-face. I'd met her before that, but first time for my wife. When I went back this time, again, as part of my journey, I said, I really want to go meet Sarah's mom and her family. I really want to go pray for them. And I am telling you, for this picture right here is about as deep in the bush as you can get. I mean, it's just that Doc Tari, if you're old enough to remember Doc Tari, type stuff where you're just going out these trails and that, and you're just, I mean, it's just single path, and pretty soon you're out and you're walking. And I went and met her her mom, and she's actually given me a chicken, which is like a really high honor for them to be able to do. And so like people say, well, why did they give you the chicken? And it's like, well, they actually want you to eat it. So, but I took it back and gave it to the care facility. Next. This little guy right here, so when I went to the care facility, the nodding syndrome, I don't know if you can tell exactly what he is, but I stayed out in the bush, and I was on I don't know what you really call it, even a bunk, my bed that night, out in the bush, and I felt something crawling up, snuggling up to me. He was snuggling up to me on my face, and I just said, this isn't going to work out, because there's not enough room here for both of us, and that's where I found him the next morning. This little guy's here, his name's Jovan. I may have shared with some of you Jovan before. Jovan was between 4 and 5 years old when I was there a couple years ago. I know he doesn't look very old now, but he's actually like 6. Jovan couldn't walk. And he had this, he actually dragged himself. He couldn't really even crawl on the knee. And so that Holy Spirit, right? That Holy Spirit moment. I know I'm not the only one that's been praying for Jovan, but we had an incredible interaction. And the next week, Pastor Douglas from that church sent me a picture of Jovan and said and the picture was of Jovan walking in the church. And then this time when I went back, Jovan, if he was here right now, he'd be up on the stage dancing. And what it was really, what God was showing me is like, you know, when you have something you can't do or something like even physically like that, you know, and when the King of Kings sets you free, you are free. And all Jovan wanted to do was dance. That's all he wanted to do was dance before the Lord. The next one's there. This lady here is Sister Frances. I would say this is a rare photo because Sister Frances really doesn't allow cameras into the baby orphanage, but we really hit it off. And this baby orphanage takes kids from 0 to 3 years old. The youngest baby we've seen in there was one week old, how young they are. That was just left on their doorstep. But Sister Frances, these are amazing women of God, and they love God, and they love these kids. Next. The older gal there is Winnie. Met her, again, 3 or 4 years ago. And again, just one of those miracles that God has been able to do. These are orphan kids here. The one that I'm holding in my arms is a young gal that's actually got cerebral palsy. Something like that. Excuse me. And so we just really have been praying for them. But they take care of, they usually typically have 40 to 50 babies in that orphanage. And if you go, it'll wreck your heart and it'll make you want to take everyone home. But they are well taken care of. Next. So we'll stop right there. We'll pause on this one for a little bit. So when we were at the baby orphanage this year and we're getting ready to leave, and these are the kind of the two I want to tie into my message today. I don't have enough time today. I wish I had more time. But when we're leaving the baby orphanage, we noticed that over there, so like Lira, where we're at in Uganda, is like the epicenter for malaria. So you got to sleep with mosquito nets pretty much. And one of the people that was at the baby orphanage with us noticed that the mosquito nets were kind of tattered and everything like that, and asked Reverend Deacons, who's actually kind of helped us over there. She said, "Hey, I'd really like to buy some mosquito nets for the baby orphanage. Can you help us out?" He said, "Sure." He said, I'll take you down to the local pharmacy." So he took us to the pharmacy in town in Lira. It's also coming up on holiday break, Christmas season, so the town is very busy. We go into the pharmacy, and we go in there, and he kind of gets in line and that type of thing, and these other ladies that are with us. And I just thought, you know, I'm just going to go soak up the Ugandan culture. So I go out on the curb and or the street, and I'm just standing out there, and there's hundreds, if not thousands, of people walking around over there. And like I was sharing with you about, you know, just being intentional and just wonder, you know, just seeing what God has for us each day. And so anyways, I was standing out on that street, and I know I stuck out because I was the only white guy out on the street, but I'm just looking around out there, and I look, and then the street's kind of, it's not the main street, but it's a main street, and I look clear down at the, I'm looking down this street, way down this street, that's out in front of me, and I see this guy coming, and he's got this yellow looking, like soccer jersey looking, soccer jersey looking on, which by the way is not incredibly weird over there, seems how they love soccer and yellow is their Ugandan color. But the Lord just is highlighting him, and he's way off, and so I look at him, and he's coming, and I'm looking around at other people and just kind of interacting, and I look, and he's still coming, and later he's still coming, and then pretty soon he's standing right here, right there. He's standing right in front of me. It's just like he just made a beeline from just several hundred yards away. So I asked him his name. His name was Alex, and I started visiting with Alex. And so one of the things I asked Alex, I said, "How's it going?" And he says, "I'm struggling." And most people in Uganda are struggling, by the way, and I don't mean that lightly because of just it's hard. Poverty, 2 out of 10 people have a job. All the rest of them trying to make their way. And he was telling me, he said, "I'm struggling because," he said, "my son..." A senior for, excuse me, I think I'm going to come down with a cold or something. Need you to pray over me. There you go, you're right. So, I shared, or I was asking him, I said, "So what's going on?" And he said, "Well, I'm just really struggling. My son is in senior four, and they're graduating, like, right the time I'm there." And he said, but they won't let him graduate because I'm several thousand shillings short of paying his school fees. Well, in Uganda, about 3,600 shillings is $1. So, but I have something in me that just says, you know, don't hand him the money. Don't give him the money. And so I just keep talking with him and start finding out about his life. And then I said, "Oh, but tell me about your family." I said, "Obviously you have a family." He said, "Yeah." I said, "I have a wife and 3 kids. He said, "One of my kids is..." I said, "Well, what ages are your kids?" And he goes, "Oh, there's... I got one that's 5, and I got one that's 7, and then my boy, he's 12. And he tells me about him. So I'm sitting there thinking, it's going off in my brain. It's like, well, he just told me he had a son that's senior 4, and then yet now he's telling me that his oldest son is 12. So I just looked at him, and, you know, you have those Holy Spirit moments, right? I looked at him, I said, "Alex, I said, you just told me about your son, and then this one's 12. I said, you lied to me, didn't you?" He said, "Yeah, I lied to you." And he said, "But I'm desperate." And he goes, "I'm really just struggling to just with life and just trying to get all this figured out." And I said, "You know, Alex, I said, I can give you the money. I can give you a few thousand shillings, but that isn't going to change your life. The only thing that's going to change your life is Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what's going to change your life, is Jesus is what's going to change your life." I said, "Do you know who he is?" He said, "I've heard of him, but I do not know who he is." I said, "Well, let me tell you who he is." And so I talked to Alex about Jesus, and I said, "Alex, do you want to receive Christ?" And I mean, and you have to understand, his countenance the whole time is like down. And he said, yes, I want to know who Christ is. Yes, I want to receive Christ today. I'm tired of this life. I want to turn a leaf. I want to follow Christ. Life. And I said, all right. I said, let's pray. So we prayed and led Alex to Christ right out there on the street. And I'd go into the pharmacy, and Reverend Deacons is in there because they're getting the mosquito nets, right? So they're getting the mosquito nets. And actually, this is a picture of Alex with that box. Let me look at the countenance on this guy, right? Jesus will change your life. Jesus will change your countenance. And he is bringing out, he's carrying out for us the mosquito nets to the car. And meanwhile, while I go into the pharmacy, I'm talking to Reverend Deacons because they had just done a church plant into they're outside of Lyra. They just had recently done a church plant into the community of Lyra. So I'm talking to Reverend Deacons. I'm saying, hey, this is Alex. Alex just accepted Christ. How can we get him plugged into the church here in the community? And Reverend Deacons just said, well, he said, okay. He goes, let me tell him. And he goes, by the way, you might want to talk to this guy. The next picture. This is Brian. Reverend Deacons goes, I think Brian wants to know who Jesus is. Do you mind talking to Brian? So we got to lay hands and pray over Brian. And next picture. And now Brian knows who Jesus is. Amen? Isn't that awesome? So we also got Brian plugged into the church. And I think the countenance says it all. The smile on their face and that. So my word today is in Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 through 18. Matthew 16, verses 15 through 18. And while you're looking there, I'm going to pray. God, we just thank you, Lord, for today. God, we thank you for your word. God, I thank you that you don't hide. That you just expose yourself to us. You want us to know exactly who you are. That we can see it through the word. We can see it through your creation, Lord God. Revealed to us by your son Jesus, by the Holy Spirit. So God, come and speak to us today as we look into your word here in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm not really, like today, just going super deep into the scripture. It's more we're just going to look at things in a little more a broad view. Matthew 16, verses 15 through 18. I'm reading now the New King James Version. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Who do you say I am? How would he know to answer that question? How would he know? Well, just to put the story a little bit into context, if you went back actually to verse 13, we didn't start right there, but Jesus took his disciples, so he has all of his disciples with him, and he took them to a place called Caesarea Philippi. And what little research I did on it, Caesarea Philippi sounds like it's really kind of a beautiful place. It's got some big rocks in it, and it sounds like it's just a beautiful place for people to go to visit, that type of thing. But I'll just read this right here. This is something that I just actually copied and pasted here. It said, Jesus took his disciples near Caesarea Philippi to the place at the foot of a steep mountain with a wall rising up in front of them. At the bottom of the mountain was a deep cave that was called the Cave of Pan. And it was surrounded by temples and statues dedicated to Pan. There were things there dedicated to Zeus, to Caesar Augustus, and to many other gods such as Baal. So there was a lot of worship, of course, of idols and demons and political powers, that types of things. I think one thing that was interesting about it was the worship to Baal, because out of that cave, as I understand it, as I've read, that out of that cave, this water flowed out of there. And kind of, I guess, one of the cool things about it is this is the beginning of the Jordan River. Coming out of this cave. And the thing is, with Bell, as I think if you read the word, how many times we hear that they refer to Bell in this situation. But those that were worshiping Bell believed that he would go into the cave, that was his entrance or exit from the underworld. And that the cave of Pan, that once you walked in there, that was called, they called it the gate to Hades. And so when we go back to our scripture, do you think that as we go back and we look at our scripture, and as Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." Amen. He was right there. He was right there. He was right there in that very spot at the gate of what was considered as the gate of Hades to the Baal followers, the worshipers. And he says, this gate will not prevail. I mean, where else, you know, if you're going to take your disciples and if you're going to ask them that question, who do you say that I am? He took them probably to one of the most difficult spots to try to figure that out. Or at least to answer that question, because he took him to the epicenter of idol worship and all those types of things. And in that context and in that place, he asked that question. Do you ever find out in your life that as God speaks to you, sometimes it's in that place that sounds like it's, I heard the word ridiculous, that he'll sometimes take us to the most ridiculous place to ask us a question. Amen. So that's where Jesus had them, was right there, was at that place. And I also believe that we can answer that question, that the disciples can answer that question. And again, not going deep into just one scripture, but so I'm going to flip back like 12 scriptures. And you're not going to have to follow along. I'm going to put things in context. You can just kind of take notes and follow up with it later. But if we were to go all the way clear back to chapter 4 in Matthew, from chapter 16, we would find out that Jesus is walking along the shore, and that he calls these disciples, that he calls Peter, that he also calls his brother Andrew, and then James and John. And he says to them there, you know, because they were fishermen, that you are going to be fishers of men. And again, I'm just going to kind of walk my way forward from chapter 4. It wasn't long after that they started following Jesus, that Jesus went and healed a great multitude. And I'm going to read it to you. Chapter 4, verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all kinds of sickness, all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought to him all the sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. So this is how the ministry starts rolling out. He takes them with him, and they start seeing the miraculous. They start seeing the healings and the things that Jesus is doing as they're walking with them. And as I was thinking about that, wonder if it stopped right there, and right after that happened, wonder if we read in the scripture right there, Jesus says, "Who am I?" I don't know. I personally get the feeling right there that they wouldn't have known exactly who he was, even though these great things had been done. There was more to do. And I think a lot of it has to do with he had more to do them. I mean, yes, you know, seeing people get healed and that, but he wanted to teach them something. Every one of us wants a miracle. Every one of us wants to see a healing. I know I do. I want to see people delivered. I want to see people set free. But he also wanted to teach them other things that were of value, so they just didn't just focus on that, because he had so much more than that to say to them. He talked to them in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the peacemaker. Blessed are you when you're persecuted. He told them that they were salt and they were light to the earth. He came and he told them, he said, "I didn't come to do away with the law, but I came to fulfill it." I don't know if you know, but the book of Matthew, even though it's good for all of us, it was primarily written to the Jews so that they could understand this thing about the law. So this is a big thing when Jesus tells them that "I didn't come to do away with it, but I am the one who can fulfill the law." He taught him about crazy stuff like murder and adultery don't always happen in the hands. Sometimes it happens in the heart. He taught the people about, you know, sometimes if you go 1 mile, you may need to go 2 or 3 or 4. Talked about loving your enemy, about doing good. He taught him how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. He taught him such things as the eye is the lamp of the body. Be careful what you look at. He taught him about money. He told him not to worry, not to judge. And he told him about this thing that is available to everybody, which is if you will ask, if you will seek, and if you will knock, the door will be opened unto you. That is for everybody. He talked about a fruit that didn't grow on trees. He talked about a narrow way, and few would walk it. He also warned them that for some he would say in heaven, I never knew you. And then he also spoke to them about building on the rock. Oh, and there was the healing, right? Because he cleanses lepers. The centurion servant that came, and Jesus says, go, your servant will be well. He even heals Peter's mother-in-law. And then there was the guy that had all the demons, you know, legion. And then there was the paralytic, the one that he forgave him, and then he healed him. Remember, a lot of people didn't really like that. I think healing was one thing, but you forgave him. You actually have the authority to forgive. Sometimes we have to forgive people. Sometimes there needs to be forgiveness before there's healing, as he's teaching his disciples. Amen? There was the blind and the mute, and of course the multitudes that were healed. Jesus taught him about compassion. He talked to him about giving that cup of cold water, or that cup of water. He taught him about how important that is, that sometimes we take what we have, no matter how little we have, and that we can help somebody else out. I personally have a little bit of a motto, which is everybody can do something. Jesus taught him about his authority. The waves and the wind obey him. Be still. Right? They're all in the boat. And then just all the other miracles that we can just add on to that. You know, Jesus feeding the 5,000. Feeds 4,000 over here. It was amazing. And so through all of this, so if you take all of that and you keep moving it forward, you just keep the healing and the teaching and the compassion and the authority and the miracles, and Jesus just keeps working with him, just like he works with you and me. He just keeps moving us forward. It took years. It took years and years and years, and he just keeps moving them forward. You know what he does then? He sends them out for a test drive. I'm sending you out, all 12 of you, go out 2 by 2, see what's going on. He says, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Jesus sends us out. He keeps moving us along, and he sends us out. He moves us along, and he sends us out. I think what's interesting after this too is as he does all this and then he sends them out for the test drive and they come back. And so I think sometimes we know we go out for that test drive and we come back and we think, I got it, everything's going to be good now. And then he warns them, he says, hey, persecution's coming. Division's coming. Some people are not going to like the message that you are sharing. But he says, it's okay. That we should fear God and that we should confess Christ. Fear God and confess Christ of who he is. So in Matthew chapter 16, who did Simon say Jesus is? He's the Christ. He's the Messiah. He is the anointed one. He is the expected one. He is the one that came to set the captives free. And even beyond Israel, and those are the other things, of course, that Jesus was trying to teach them. Yes, this salvation is for Israel, but it's for all mankind, for everybody that asks, everybody that seeks, everybody that knocks. So one of my thoughts about that too was like, how did this impact Simon right there at that moment when he confesses that Jesus is the Christ? How did it impact him? And I think one way that it impacted him is that Jesus no longer says, you're no longer Simon, but your name is Peter. And on this rock, right here in Caesarea Philippi, right here at this cave, right in this moment amongst all these other gods, but on this rock, I will build my church. And do you know that he says that about you and me? I mean, your name may have not went from Simon to Peter, most likely not. But when you receive Christ, you have a new identity. When you were asked, you know, who is Christ? Who am I? And when that confession comes out of our mouth, you are the Christ. Everybody here that's born again knows exactly what I'm talking about. Your identity changes. You really do go from a Simon to a Peter, because he says, on that word, on that confession, I will build my church. And he does it for every single one of us. Isn't that amazing? I just love it. I'm just passionate about it. You know, I don't know if you can pull back up the picture of Alex. He was a guy in the yellow jersey there. So I think about that day, and I think about that picture and that moment. You know, about Alex not knowing who Jesus is. But his heart's ready. The harvest is ripe. 3 minutes later, he knows who Christ is. He doesn't know everything about him, but he knows he's a redeemer. He knows he's a healer. He knows he's the one that he needs to put his hope and his trust into. And I would say the same thing for Brian as well. And these are some of the things that I just wrote down, and this question we need to ask ourselves. So who do you say Jesus is? Who do you say that he is? And this isn't a question about, this for sure isn't a time like, hey, I've got to question my salvation. This is sometimes even, and I think it's for a lot of believers, to be honest with you. I've been walking with the Lord for a while, and I have to stop and ask myself that question sometimes again. Who is he in my life? Am I after the healing? And it's like, yes, but who is he? Who is he in my life? If I stay focused on him, and I find out a lot of times that if I just go preach the gospel straight away, people get healed, people get delivered. I don't need a lot of fancy stuff. I just need to know who he is. And I know that he is able, and you know that he is able to deliver. We know that he's able to set the captives free. Because we've read from verse 4 to verse 16, amen? We've seen it. We've heard it. You know, the one way you get to know people is spending time with them, right? So we know he is Christ, he is Savior. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's a friend, he's a redeemer. He's a forgiver. He's a deliverer, he's a healer. Spending time with him. And I just like to invite the worship team to come up, and as we get ready to close here. I hope that this message, it's kind of deep on one hand, but I hope you have a smile on your face, and that is we think about who Jesus is. And again, not that we just have to keep questioning ourselves over and over, because a lot of that work has already been done when you confess Christ. When one of the things I got to do while I was in Uganda during that time, that November, kind of December time, again, because of just wanting to preach, they have what they call crusades. And they said, Russ, we want you to preach a couple of crusades, and they're out in the bush, it's just there's a whole lot of things that they do prep that goes in before I even show up, because they spend weeks out evangelizing, sharing the word, who Jesus is, and that type of thing. But when they were first telling me about a crusade, I said, "Tell me about a crusade. What, I mean, what is a crusade? And how does a crusade even work?" And they said, "Well, a crusade works like this." They said, "The first day, depending on if it's days or times, they said, the first day we just preach the gospel. We tell them who Christ is, and we just preach the gospel." As they say in Uganda, we just preach it straight away of who Jesus is, and people get saved. And then the next day we preach deliverance. So the chains are broken and people are set free. That they are set free, that they are delivered from all these different bondages and all those types of things. And they said, then on the third day, they get healed. So it's a process, Raymond, that we walk with Christ, that we know who He is. He's our teacher. He's our healer. He's our redeemer. He's the one, I think I heard in worship today, who was and is to come. He's our great hope. And because of you knowing who He is, go spread it around. You know who He is. Go spread it around. Show somebody else who He is. You can do it by a cup of water sometimes. But sometimes it definitely takes that confession coming out of our mouth. Don't be afraid to lay hands on the sick. They will rise up. I don't know normally how you close a service here, but I just have in my heart that if you just want to come front, that's fine, it's up to you. But if you just want to reestablish of who Christ is in your life, you can do it right there where you're at. It doesn't have to be up here, but I find out sometimes for me personally, if I just make a move and just come and just worship before Him. So if that's you today, that's where you feel, again, you're fine to stay where you're at. Thank you for letting me come and share the word of the Lord with you today. Love you guys. Amen.